Well, good morning.
I
want to share a couple things with you, and I'd like the ladies' help, really. I've got four packets up here of Camp Row shirts, and if you go to a particular beauty shop or to a nail salon, would like you to ask the manager or the owner, can I leave these here for your customers? It is amazing how many moms are the ones that determine where a kid goes for the summer. And you have an opportunity of being able to reach out in your area to see kids come to go to camp. Before we get into the pictures, I'd like to just open up God's Word in the book of Luke. We'll be looking at Luke and at John briefly. But in Luke chapter 10, the Lord starts off in verse 1. He had been teaching, and says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them by twos, two by two, before his face into every city and place where he himself was to go. He said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Then I'd like to turn over to the Gospel of John, to a familiar portion of Scripture in John 3. I'm going to start at John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's go before the Lord in prayer a minute. Father, as we come into your presence, we thank you for the opportunity of reading your word and to thinking of how wonderful you are. You didn't come to condemn us. You didn't come to persecute us. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we truly were lost. We were like dumb sheep wandering around with nobody to guide us. And we thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to leave his heavenly kingdom and to come and to take on the form of man and to give himself as that sacrifice. And Father, help us not to take that lightly, but to realize what a precious gift we've been given. And we thank you for the opportunity of sharing even some of your work that is going on in other countries as well. And we ask your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask, who can tell me where I went to? Can you tell me where? Okay, come here. Where's Kenya at? Yeah. It's in Africa. Do you know what part? What part? East Africa, right. It's down on the lower east side. Can Grandpa catch it? All right. Okay. What was the mission, the main mission purpose for going to Kenya? Well, yes. That is, but that wasn't the first main purpose. It was medical. I went with a medical team, and this is just part of the group here. This is a van, typical transportation in Kenya. There was 9 of us. I was the only non-medical. Why did I go? Well, kind of like what I read before, The offer was made. The need was presented. The Lord didn't close any doors to say you shouldn't. And I went. And I thanked the Lord. If you can notice, there's some eyeballs back there. Every one of us basically had two bags. The trunks and the storage containers all stayed there. They carried medical supplies in. We flew into Nairobi, and we're in Nairobi, and nine of us were all in this van. And we had just spent the night in a kind of like a bed and breakfast hospitality Presbyterian motel. You might call on that. Now, this is part of the countryside. We're flying into an area called Kisumu. And this is Lake Victoria. We're flying over. And there's the luggage that we crammed in one van, now going into three vehicles. So we were thankful for the space and not having to have our bags all laying on top of us. Just to give you a little reflection, this is Mike Gagne. He's an eye doctor. Kirsten Robertson is a RN. Jennifer is an RN. I'll take that back. Jesse here is 15. He was the son of Dr. Creston, who is over there. And he helped Dr. Mike with eyeglasses. Anne-Marie Gagne is a nurse in Kansas City. Steve Price, many of you know. And this is Creston, and that composed our team. This is a gentleman, Ishmael, who has coordinated everything. And for a couple years, Ishmael worked with getting the believers to lay aside all the baggage that everybody had against one another and to bring the believers to harmony, to focus on reaching the lost on there. This was a local church. We're driving for 2.5 hours to the village that we're going to, and this was just a local church sitting there. I didn't get to get the name on it, but that's one of the things you see around there. Now, this is one stop. We had to pick up some medical supplies, and Mike was witnessing, and as our young lady commented, was to share the word. Well, yes. That was always in the picture of sharing the word. And he's handing a tract and making an illustration with them at that time. This is the original hut that was on the property where we were staying at, and Ishmael and his wife were building the home that we stayed in, and they were living in their original house for us. Now, you were singing just a few minutes ago, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It sounds so different in Kenya, but you know the words when they're singing it. And this is their choir, and they're singing for us in their church building. It's called Grace Bible Church. Am I too close to this back here, getting the echo? Okay. If I get in your way, just tell me. All right. So they're singing a song. They've had some ministry before we had the breaking of bread. And one of the songs they were singing in their song. But, you know, I was mentioning earlier that one of the fellows that some of the hardest things for these people is to get items that they need. How many of you have more than one Bible in your home? Yeah. You might have three or four. They struggle in trying to get 100 Bibles for others to have. It costs, you know, a lot of money for them where they don't have it. Now, last year when Steve and them went, this was a dirt floor and they had their tents in this area. It had all been finished off. This was basically the living, eating area. And we have all the crates. They're separating everything so that we can transport it to the clinic and have what everybody else brought together all put together. This is the full-time workers' home and the workshop for the school. As you're going to see in the pictures, we're in a compound area. And this area right here is an area they're praying about. It would cost about $4,000 to buy this piece of land that you primarily see in corn, and they want to build a permanent clinic. Now, this year they had the Minister of Interior and Education in hospitals, and they came, they saw what was going on, they visited with the doctors, and they sat through a gospel message. Because while we were doing the medical, they were doing gospel meetings, and they were having gospel meetings all day, night long. Different ones of us would get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and use the Odd House, and you could hear them singing very loudly and jubilantly, and sometimes you could hear the gospel message being given, and they were coming on strong to the people. And many were being saved. With the school, the little metal building is their workshop. They take the students, and they are only up to high school. This year, even Ishmael's son, John, had to go away to a Christian school, and they see him on weekends if they make the trip there. Otherwise, he only has like 3 months at different times through the year, a month of free. Pray for him because it's costly. And you're going to kind of shake your head and kind of what? But it's $1,200 a year for John to be in that Christian boarding school. But the only other place would be in the public school facility, and he'd still have to pay some money. As I mentioned, the hut right there is the full-time workers' hut. Now, this is the chapel where the gospel meetings were going on. And next to this, in another picture, you'll see a tent. And they were having open-air meetings as well. The chapel is called Grace Bible Chapel. And this is where the medical sessions were held, in the Shelter of Hope Clinic. Now, there's two full-time people that are registered nurses. One is Na, and they call him Dr. Na. And the other one is Caroline, and she's a nurse, and she pretty well helps oversee the pharmacy in that. And you'll see pictures of them. That's Knob right there, and Caroline is right next to him in the pharmacy. Where your room is for coffee, that's a huge space. And they put a lot of things in a small area. These are ladies that are preparing lunch. They serve lunch for everybody after the gospel meetings every day on there. And big pots, open air fire. They are roasting and boiling chickens, plucking the hair, and cutting up a goat for lunch. And you see the knives. And let me tell you, when they're cutting slaw or cabbage, they get it very fine with those knives. Here's some of the folks, Jesse and Emmanuel. Immaculate is one of the interpreters that was helping in the pharmacy. Anne-Marie worked with Caroline in the pharmacy and making sure there was a clear understanding of what all the medicine. And Caroline she was taking notes constantly, wanting to learn and making sure she was doing things correctly. These were primarily my three helpers, Washington and Joe and Jacob. Joe ended up helping Dr. Mike with the eyeglasses and keeping that going, and Washington was helping in the movement of people and translating things for everyone. Under the tent is where they would register, And then that was part of the covering while they were waiting. Now, you're going to see a lot of ladies with the orange shirts. These are a group of women. They've either been, their husbands have been killed. They've been in difficulties and through some different actions are on their own. And Ishmael's wife, Malin, has taken these women and have brought them together to make things. My daughter Shane has a purse that the ladies made to where if you want to look at it, it's beautiful handcraft. I've also got something I'll show in a minute. But these ladies are making things and selling it, and their key purpose is to buy a cow. And you say, well, that's kind of strange. But yet a cow gives milk. They can make butter. They can make cheese. There's food. And a cow will give on an average of 4 gallons a day. Well, they have a means of selling the extra for an income. Caroline was one of the first recipients of a cow. They have 12 cows now. And they're shooting for 40. It costs $200 for a cow. They have also taken, and the cows that the different ladies have, they have been bred so that when it has a calf, then it can be given to one of the other ladies. So they're really looking at how they can help one another. And they were helping in many different ways through the week. This is Ishmael's brother Isaac. He just graduated college and is working in Nairobi. And Dr. Knob would interview the individuals trying to figure out, and then they would go to either Kirsten or to Jennifer, and those fellows were interpreting, and they were trying to figure out what is the problem. There were three doctors. Well, this is their water. They had to walk to this pump and pump it, and they were so excited, and that's how the government gave them local water. But they wash their clothes, they do all kinds of things. Here's the registration. These two folks are involved in the work in Nairobi with Ishmael, and they came down for the week to help in doing registration. And the lady straight behind in the beautiful dress is Ishmael's wife, Moline. Now here's the eye clinic, and Dr. Mike and Jesse are getting things together, and people would come through, and it was amazing how the most simplest reading glasses from 100 to 200 strength, you buy the dollar reading glasses at Dollar Tree, how people were so excited to be able to see. And we even kind of laughed sitting in church. And you'd see all these people smiling with glasses, and they could see what was going on in the front on there. So, and this young man, this is George. George is just like the young man that was in the scriptures, that he was possessed, he was in chains, he was in fights, he was just, as they put it, was possessed. And he literally was in chains. And Ishmael was sharing, and I got an opportunity talking with George. George would just come up to somebody and punch him. I mean, he just had anger. And he got Christ in his life. And I have to laugh, but George came in to Dr. Creston, and he goes, I need something for my throat. My throat is real sore. And Creston told him, stop singing. He was becoming hoarse because he just loves the Lord. And when you see him in the choir and singing, you know, he is just so excited and thankful that he's saved. And George, a lot of the young men, you'll see motorcycles, small 180, 190 motorcycles, and they can buy a brand new one, and all the paperwork license fees only cost $1,500. But they can use that not only for transportation, but for income. Motorcycles are a big taxi in the country. Here's one of the open-air meetings. And with this tent, they rented the tent, but they're praying it costs about $2,000. Now, I'm throwing these figures out so that you understand some of the struggles these people are going through and what we look at in things in different perspectives. But $2,000 would give them a brand new tent made there with sides that would protect in any kind of weather. But they could take it down, move it around to different meetings, and they're doing right now a week of open-air meetings in Nagala, another village, and they've already seen 20 the first day get saved. You know, so they're reaching out, and I mean, they don't, to me it's like the old fire and brimstone preachers. They don't pull any punches. They tell you you're lost, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and they preach it straight out. And here they were singing as well as giving the gospel messages, and the people behind were having medical treatment. Here's some more of the kitchen getting clean up and everything. There's the ladies, and you can see the big knives, and they're cutting up slaw for everybody. Now, I showed you the piece of property earlier that they're trying to buy, and these are some of the political leaders. They asked us to come join them, and Steve Price took us before the Lord in prayer and just committed the property and the vision to have a full-time clinic. Right now, you drive for over an hour and a half to 2 hours to Humma Bay for the medical clinic, and it's rough. I'll show you some of the pictures in a few minutes. There's a group of the ladies all together just helping. Now, this is Dr. Esther Saltz. She's from up around the Pennsylvania area. Her name has changed. She got married 2 weeks after she got back from Kenya here. And she's dealing with patients. And Steve Price here with his interpreter. And some of the interpreters are teachers in the school, so they're learning English better. Here's Dr. Mike, and he's helping with the eye exams. A lot of interaction. You know how, well, even like LaVon was going around giving out candy to different kids. You have to be really careful because you could have 100 kids around you and everybody's wanting the same thing. They feel like they're missing out. And if somebody gets something and somebody doesn't, then you have a ricochet effect of, you know, what's wrong with me or why are you getting, are you better? And those were some of the issues that the brethren are trying to overcome and develop, but just taking and playing some games and interacting with them. This is the local bathroom, the outhouse, the shower, and the little spigot on the side was our sink for brushing teeth, shaving, and this is the gatekeeper. He was also the hot water man. He heated up hot water every day, sometimes three times a day, and filled that black tank on top of the shower so that we'd even have lukewarm. There's Dr. Mike and Jesse in their eye clinic. People lining up and, you know, everybody wanting to have a time. They saw over 330 patients in 4 days on there. Little boy that even right now we're trying to communicate through folks here to get a wheelchair for the mother to make it easier for this young man to be transported around. She has to carry him on everything, or when he's in their home, he just kind of in a corner on the floor on there. Here's Caroline with her cow. She was so proud, wanted to show us her cow. She lives in the house on the right, and her daughter lives in the hut there on the left. It's interesting, you may see about four or five huts, and as the kids get older, they have their own. And even like Ishmael, when he finally got married, his father basically tore his hut down. He had to go do his own. So you're put out. This is the original school that he went to, and it's still being used for classes. This is the kitchen there at the home. These are the folks that were kind to service meals. Ever have a chicken head? It could be roasted, it could be barbecued, but you get the whole head, you know, or the foot. Yeah. This young lady here was working in the fields, and I don't know, I primarily took it because of the tool, but it's just a stick with the metal head. And she's breaking up the ground in order to plant corn or rice or wheat or anything they can. These two men, every morning they would have a time of sharing of the word. They would have prayer. And they have all the leaders. There's more that are standing back behind here. But they have all the church leaders come around these individuals. And they're praying that all the evil spirits will be taken away from these individuals. They look at it. They come in, and they're fighting a battle. We don't think that much in our society that we're fighting a spiritual battle. You know, we may say things from the platform, and, you know, we talk about equipping yourself in the armor, but they really feel they're fighting a huge spiritual battle. And Steve is praying with these two men. One of them, Ishmael was expressing, has never wanted to have anything talked to him about the Word of God. He's never entered any of the church buildings. But that morning, he came from one part of the compound, and the other man came from another, and he committed his life to the Lord. Here we are in the triage with people. And it's just mud huts with metal roofs. And there's the pharmacy. This young lady sitting there with the scarf. At first they weren't really sure what was happening. If it was, you know, AIDS. But she had a huge infection that went over her entire face. And she covered it. And she came back. And the third day she came back. She was able to have her eye open by taking basic antibiotics. And all those antibiotics, all the creams, all the different things that were given were just made available, and they were giving it out free. Even for headaches, Advil. How easy you go down to the store and you pick up a bottle of 100. Well, you know, for them, it's not that easy on there. Here's Esther there again. Here's Creston. He's from Pennsylvania. He's an ER doctor, and he has a real heart for the people as well as the workers on there. And Steve Price again with them. And Dr. Mike. We had different people in our meeting that just gave any old glasses. And if you're doing that, you're stockpiling glasses that you don't use anymore, they can use them. This lady in particular, she was just so happy, and I took a picture of her as she was leaving. Her feet were turned in, and she was walking on the side of her ankles and had a cane and hunched over in her back. And these people walk a long distance. There's another one on there. Going down the roadway, you never know what you may encounter. Free ranging. This is Hama Bay. We're coming in. That's Lake Victoria. It's quite a drive to get to there. Some of the conditions around there. We were picking up some supplies. This is a drugstore where we were trying to pick up some additional items. One of the general merchandising, the man sitting in the chair is security, so nobody will steal it. These are individuals, they wanted their picture taken there in the grocery store. Some of the conditions around were right next to the open market. And all over you'll see these motorcycles. They're not big motorcycles. But you'll see a picture later on of four adults on this motorcycle. Like I said, these are guys providing taxi service. Here we are in the open market, and he was buying vegetables, and that's how it's all put out there. These are onions. Anything that moves around, they're using it. That's his way of selling stuff. How many of you remember those old Singer sewing machines? They're in operation. Yeah, they are being used, and they make all kinds of outfits and stuff with those pedal machines. We stopped along the side of the roadway near the lake and bought some tilapia fish, and they tie them to your outside mirror. So you're driving 2 hours, and this fish is just dangling on the side, you know. And there's the signs for the medical center, for the chapel and the meetings. This is going up the roadway to the compound. And here's a lot of people after one of the sessions, just all over the area. The little tarp is where they had their sound system set up. And just enjoying. Now, it was in December where we're thinking cold. It was 85 degrees. But I love seeing these people with their wool jackets on, their heavy parkas, their hoods up, and they were complaining they were freezing. Now, this lady is getting things ready for a meal, but those are minnows. That's one of the dishes. They mix them into the food on there. And there's the cooking. Little strips of wood they gather from all over the place. As their cattle are free-ranging, at times you'll see this rope and the short, stubby palm trees that you see in South Florida, Louisiana, all across the South. They take those branches and they strip them real fine, they let them dry, then they weave them into rope. And it's very, very tough rope. But these cattle have about a 20-foot piece of rope dragging behind them, and they're just all over the place. And then at night, they grab the rope, they tie it to a stake near their hut, and that's how they take care of cattle. You'd never see that over here. Here's some folks getting ready in the morning, starting the day. That's their broom. Washington kept that area swept off, and that's their broom that they use all in their huts or anywhere. There's some of the people, and that's, he brings them in, and they pay him, you know, a small price, but they may have difficulty getting on and off, but they sit there. Here's another gentleman that he was just so happy to get eyeglasses. I took this picture because that's one of their toys. It's a stick with two wheels. And these kids were just running around and they were having a ball chasing that little toy. The other thing is some of you older ones may remember the metal wheel, just the metal rim and a stick, and you'd roll it down the hill. That's another big toy over there. Now, this is called the Lady of Prayer. She was very upset that Ishmael did not tell her we were coming. We had to wait a few minutes so she could put on her good dress. And she prays. She's in her 80s, and she prays for all the work and meetings going on. They call her the Widow of Prayer. We are inside her hut, and she wanted to pray for us. This is her stove. This is her dining. And that's what she has in the living room. And this lady is very loving and open. This is her bedroom. And there's just a wall that divides her mud hut. She doesn't even have the windows on there. We're outside. They got her to take off her scarf so she could be seen. And that's a nephew behind her on there. Now here we're all, a bunch of the group together. This is inside. Like I said, for 4 days we were doing heavy medical care. And in Thursday evening through Sunday, we went into teaching. Steve is speaking on the church, what it is, the different facets of the church, the eldership, authority, headship. The ladies had a session with the women, and they did the role of the women in the church. They did on head covering, why and who it's giving glory to. The men did out sessions as well. 6 of the 8 that were sent to the hospital by Dr. Mike received cataract surgery. This is one of the ladies, or 2 of the ladies. We went to the hospital, and you have to really suck it in to go into these wards. It's very basic essentials, and the odor is tremendous. The blue netting is mosquito netting, and family members have to take care of them. They might have one nurse for this entire ward. And this young man had had an eye injury, and he was finally going to be able to see clearer out of that one eye on there. The cost for the eye cataract surgery was $20 a patient. They didn't have the money. They didn't have the means to be transported. Ishmael and some of the other brethren made available, and they transported them to the hospital in Hama Bay. Even as we were going there in the evening to visit them, as we're walking up the pathway, all the lights went off. So they have their iPhones, and they're directing us with their iPhone, and it's a standard procedure. The power can go off. Can you think if you're in the middle of a surgery and all of a sudden the power goes off, the doctor can't see? They sit and wait until the power comes back on. In this case, it was probably about 15 minutes, and the power came back on. When they're having gospel meetings, the power goes off. There's no PA. They crank up the little generator, and they got power again. You know, they've been able to get a little generator. This is, I mentioned to Jerry, the most expensive was amputation and hysterectomy. It was $40. That's their fees for medical care. Now, we were talking earlier about outside sessions. Creston is doing one with the young people. And he ended up bringing his son into the session as well. And they were talking about testimony. What does a testimony really mean? You know, why do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony? And the younger people understand English and speak English more. Ishmael's brother Isaac was supposed to be the interpreter. He's sitting there to the right of Creston. And he says, I don't need to interpret. We know English. You can speak. And Creston started speaking, and they all started like, wait. And he's like, what? We don't listen that fast. So he had to slow down and speaking. Here's a session some of the men were having in holiness, understanding what holiness of God was, and Mike Gagne was working with them. And, you know, like I said earlier, they have gospel meetings. They're going 24 hours all day. I mean, Sunday, I'll step back. Here's Esther and Caroline talking to the ladies in the role. Now, we're at a baptism. Sunday morning started at 8 o'clock. We hiked for a mile to the river, and we had a baptism. And they're having a time of sharing of the word. And there were 16 men and women and young people baptized. Here they are being baptized. Joe, one of my helpers, realized he had never been baptized, wanted to be baptized. So he's being baptized there. On our way coming back, you see the older gentleman in the black suit in the middle? He was the one that had gotten saved, that came up, had never wanted to hear anything about God or church or anything. And he came running up late, and he goes, "What about me? What about me? I want to be baptized." And Ishmael was so happy that he wanted to be baptized, but expressed to him, "We will have a time of teaching with you so you understand." He was like, "Okay, you know." But he had made such a change and wanting to be more with the people and the things of God. I want you to notice the benches here a minute. That's just like a 1x6. That's the only support. And then this is about 2 feet, just flat. And they will sit on those things and not complain. They will not get up and be running out to go use the bathroom or anything. They will be sitting there, and they'll go from one meeting into another on there. We went from 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon before they decided to have lunch. And I had the privilege of being able to give a gospel message that Sunday. We had breaking of bread. After breaking of bread, they took up an offering. Yes, that is a live chicken laying there on the ground. But you stop and think about it. Whether it's a wrapped up ear of corn in a plastic bag or a chicken, they're giving to the Lord of their possessions. They're rendering appreciation to God. And all that will be used, but that's what they give. And, you know, it just touched me on how little they had. And I thought about the widow and how she gave. And yet, you know, how the ones that had money came in and made kind of a show, and "I'm putting my stash into the offering bag." And she came in lowly and meekly and gave from the heart. And, you know, they really would appreciate your prayer. They know God's in control. They know that there's a lot that they can do. That's where the hot water was heated for different things, even the showers. Cooking, you know, eating the fish. Isaac is a school teacher, and that's the desk. And he was tutoring some of the kids. This was their Christmas break, and his wife is giving the baby a bath. And both of them were baptized as well. It was just so exciting to see these individuals wanting to really stand for the Lord and step out. There you are. They get around, and I'll tell you what. The camp road coming in is an interstate, people. Yeah. This is George and John. John is Ishmael's oldest son who's gone away to school. But George is such an example of Christ changing individuals' lives. And he is so excited for the Lord. The school is right there behind. And the church is made out of the blocks. And right behind the existing school is where they want to start building the two-story school so that they can have school all the way up to class 12. And the local children would be able to stay nearby and not have to go off. And with that, they would need to have sleeping area and also eating areas and more toilets, which they want to incorporate in the long run there. This was something I've never seen in my whole life. And yes, that calf did wiggle, and a couple times they all moved about. But I had to just take that because you would never see this in the United States. I know I have never transported livestock like that. But you see the bicycle, you see the cart, you see the motorcycle. They've got three-wheel tricycles with containers that they may have 9 people stuffed in that little thing. And they're transporting around. And I've never seen this. Maybe you've seen it here in the city, but he's on rollerblades holding on the back of one of those three-wheel carts. The Japanese are putting in their power sources with power generators functioning off of the lake, piping up the hill, going to the turbines and sending off. Chinese are building their roads. I mean, it's amazing the international structure of people. There was a tilapia fish the day before we left. They took us out. Here's the car wash. Just pull right up and get your vehicle washed. You know. Here's another picture that you have the church, the school building, and some residents on the back, but also the kitchen. And that whole area is what they want to end up having a development for the whole school and the clinic on the other side. A week and a half or so after we left, Pat Fitzgerald came in with Poppin, and they had a soccer camp and were able to share the gospel with the kids because it's kind of their summer camp time. So that was exciting to see. Two of the full-time workers there talking with Steve and Ishmael, and One of the things they were talking about in getting a motorcycle would really help the full-time workers being able to go to the other smaller meetings and also be like the Apostle Paul. They could also use it for earning income on there. So they asked for prayer. It would cost $1,500 to cover all the paperwork, the license, and have a brand new motorcycle on there. But yet it would expand so much more of the ministry. This is Obama Town. This is where Obama came from. And those people are having a rough go. If you can notice, right next to the Coca-Cola umbrella is a half a side of beef in the butcher shop. And they just cut it off and give you what you want. And there's the Kisumu International Airport, where we're unloading, getting ready to come back. Well, that's a whirlwind trip of 8,000 miles in 10 days. But it was a joy to see many come to know the Lord through the gospel meetings, to see the people excited about the things of God, wanting to do so much. I mean, just like those ladies making beads and making the purses, just to be able to help one another out. Not looking for a handout, but they're wanting prayer. They know that they need a welder, a three-phase stick welder. It costs $800. They're asking the Lord to somehow make the way. A motorcycle, a tent for $2,000, property, because the school is developing. The people around have raised their prices on the land. You know, it's like anything else. You develop something, you're like, oh, I'm going to make more money. You know, but you think $4,000 for a big piece of land, that's not much at all. But yet, they don't have the means to make payments or stuff like that coming on a regular basis. So they're having to be able to buy it outright. But yet, they have a vision that the clinic that we were working in is to be increased, moved across the road, have beds that if they have to keep people there overnight, they'd be able to provide that service. If they needed minor surgery, they would have a room to have surgery in. We had a fella that came in with a foot that was horrible looking. And they put him on one of the wooden benches out next to the patio on the corner of the building, and they literally poured peroxide over it to help clean out the infection. And there wasn't any numbing or anything. He's just holding the bench. And then they wrapped it up, and they strongly encouraged him to get to the hospital. They weren't sure how long he was going to live, well enough the fact that he'd probably lose his leg shortly. It was from AIDS. The young girl with the eye infection, you know, the difficulties in malaria and malnutrition. Ishmael's youngest son was having some difficulties. The simple vitamins that you buy for your kids and grandkids or have given to them, the chewables, man, that was a luxury they were given the children. And Advil, we are so blessed, people. We take a lot of things for granted, and yet they're asking for prayer. Yes, there's a lot of money involved. I mean, I'll be honest with you, $10,000 would help them in so many ways. But they're not asking that. I'm saying that figure. They're asking people in America, pray for them. Just as they're praying for these gospel outreaches in Kenya. They have a work going on with Emmaus correspondents and stuff in Nairobi. They have in Hama Bay. There's about 9 little assemblies around where the clinic is at. And I'll tell you what, if you're in the medical field, I'm going to throw something out to you. I would like you to seriously think about going on the team. Because I don't know if those others are going to come back. And the leadership are looking for people that are from the assemblies. There's a lot of medical people out there that love the Lord and they're good people, but they're trying to keep it people from the assembly because the meeting is assembly based and they're wanting to outreach in the same manner. And I just encourage you. If you like no cost on figures and stuff, I'll tell you that later on. But appreciate your prayer. Their main focus is to share the gospel. They're trying to build up the assemblies. I know, like myself, I have a tremendous amount of books in a library. In the library at the church, they have about 6 books. And many of them have read them from cover to cover many times. You know, songbooks, Bibles. I mean, it is simple, basic needs. And just prayer is what they're asking. So, if you have questions afterwards, I'll be glad to answer any of them individually. Would encourage you ladies, if you'd help us. If you'd like more, I have a few more out in the truck. But thank you for the opportunity. I also want to thank you that you helped financially and my ability to be able to go over there, and I truly do appreciate that from the meeting here. So let's close in prayer. Father, as we close and we've looked at a work that is going on in Kenya, I know in so many ways, Father, we are very helpless. There's a tremendous amount of need. And as your word said about the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Father, we know that you are very capable of raising the helpers to meet the need. I know, Father, I have seen it for many years through the camp. Of how you've raised moms and dads and young people to come and to serve you there for a week or longer. And Father, I continue to just lay at your feet that need as well. And there's needs in every part of the country, every part of this wide world. And we are so blessed to be able to lay our requests at the feet of the one who has created this whole universe. What an amazing God we have. And Father, if it be your will, we ask that you will meet the need in every facet. Open the hearts of the people that they would receive the Word of God. And just as that older man, as well as like George, that are just so excited to know their sins are forgiven. The physical chains have been broken off. And as we talk about a new creature created in God, how George just continues to be in my heart, Father, and is a shining light, one that loves to sing and talk about an amazing Savior that set him free. Father, we ask that you will use us here in the St. Louis area. Help us not to just be hearers of the Word, but challenge us, Father, to make us get up and get out and talk to people and go through our neighborhood or whatever and share the gospel. Help us not be lurking and sitting when we should be doing things for you. And Father, you know each and every one of our needs more than we even know ourselves. So we just commit these things to you, Father, and thank you in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I got a question for the ladies and the young girls. Who has just had a birthday or is going to have a birthday in the next few weeks? When's her? In 2 weeks? Are you sooner? Yeah. Oh, no, I mean here, right now. So just her, come here. This is a necklace that the ladies make, and those are the national colors for you. All right. Thank you.
We're closing three more campuses with lots of drugs and lots of good equipment.